Romans chapter number 4 in our Bibles. We began this message this morning and looking at the life of Abraham. And I hope you were able to be a part of the service this morning. If not, you can go back and listen to that. And let's pray, and then by God's grace, we're going to continue through this text. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being in church this afternoon. And Lord, we just lift up all the Bible-preaching churches across this great land of Canada right now. Some, Lord, have been meeting online only. Some have been meeting with maybe 10 people in the building. Some have been recording and then playing it. Just all different ways, Lord, to try to get the truth, continue to get the truth out, Lord. And I pray from Vancouver Island all the way across to the farthest east, Lord, of our country, that you would just bless all the preaching of the Word of God that's gone forth today and is continuing to go forth today. Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would empower it and your Holy Spirit would bring forth fruit from it for your honor and glory. Do we ask this? And we pray now in this time, in this these moments that we have, Father, that our effort would be for you and for your glory, whether we're the speaker or the listener, that we would be filled with your Spirit, emptied of ourself, again, whether we are listening or whether we are speaking, that you would be glorified is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter number 4, we learn today that the main character of Romans chapter number 4, humanly speaking, is a man by the name of Abraham. And we looked back into the book of Genesis 12, 13, 14. We didn't go through all those verses, but we looked back of kind of where it began for him and where his journey of faith began and how God called him to leave a place and just go, and God would lead him every step of the way. And then there would come a time in his life he didn't have any children, and God told Abram at that time that you're going to have a son, and you're going to you look at the sky and you see all those stars, and that's how big your family is going to be, so to speak. And he had no children at all at that time. And the Bible says that he believed God in Genesis chapter number 15, verse 6. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And boy, I tell you, you need to look at that verse and study that verse and meditate on that verse, because we mentioned earlier today that at that very moment, it's my belief that that was salvation, if you will. That was saving faith. What did Abraham believe? He believed the Word of God that he had. And what was the Word of God? It was the voice of God that said, you're going to have a great nation. Abraham believed God. Anyway, that's how we get saved today. We get saved by believing God, by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And we'll give that a little bit more later on. Well, then, fast forward ahead, we jumped into Romans chapter number 4, and we gave the first two points of the outline, and they were, number one, the determination of Abraham's faith. The determination of Abraham's faith. It was about 25 years from the time that God told Abraham he was going to have a nation, a family the size of the stars of heaven, until Isaac was born. Now remember, Isaac was that promised seed. Unfortunately, Abraham and Sarah's faith was not strong all the time, and we reiterated that this morning. Neither is yours and neither is mine, by the way. And they tried to kind of circumvent the will of God. They tried to plan and work it out, humanly speaking. And by the way, never try to humanly plan the will of God. Never try to do God's work for God. Let God do God's work God's way, and let's follow him by faith. So even in that, the Bible says here in verse 20 that he was strong in faith. Abraham was strong in faith. So we talked about the determination of Abraham's faith, that even though he was 99 years old, his wife being 89, 90, never having given birth before, that somehow God's promise was still going to come to fruition. And it did. That was the determination. Then we looked at number two, the stability of Abraham's faith, and we saw that in verse number 20, which is our theme verse. Let me encourage you to be meditating on that verse and asking God, what would he teach you throughout the year from our theme verse, Romans 4:20. The Bible says that he staggered not. That word staggered means to go back and forth, from unbelief to belief, from belief to unbelief, and kind of, you know, like a yo-yo, up and down and all over the map. And I've been there before and you've been there before. But the Bible says here that Abraham had a faith that was stable. It was a stable faith. And we talked about Ephesians 6:10, being strong in the Lord, and in 1 Corinthians 16:13, to quit you like men and be strong. And this stability of Abraham's faith, we said this right at the end of the message, it was not in Abraham. The stability of Abraham's faith was because it focused on the very promises of the Word of God. And we have that same opportunity every day of our life to have stable faith because it's in the promises of the Word of God. All right, let's look at two more this afternoon. Number three is the confidence, actually three more, sorry, the confidence of Abraham's faith. The confidence of Abraham's faith. Look at verse number 21. I love the wording of these verses, not just these, but just let God's word really speak to you as we read them. Notice, and being fully persuaded. Not just persuaded, but fully persuaded. That fully there, that's an adverb. And it's emphasizing the fact that he was completely 100% confident, completely persuaded, completely convinced in what? That what he had promised, who's he? God. What God had promised, don't you love this? Listen to this. He was able. Just stop right there. What God had promised Abraham, God was able to perform. God was able to perform. Think about it. You and I do not have to perform. God is all powerful. God is omnipotent, as we say. God is able. All we need to do is confidently place our faith in his ability. And by the way, he spoke the world into existence. He'll destroy the enemy with his word as well, with a sword coming out of his mouth, if you will. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we follow. You and I can have complete and ultimate confidence in the fact that, as the hymn writer said, he is able. Our God is able. He was fully persuaded that God would be able to give him a child at 99 years of age. Think about this. We're not talking about some minuscule miracle. We're talking about, not that there's a minuscule miracle, but we're talking about something that just was impossible. And yet Abram was fully persuaded. He trusted fully in God that God was able to perform. I just hope you'll mark that down. And I hope that you'll go to this verse at times of difficulty and at times of maybe discouragement and maybe some doubt that comes over. And you'll go by and you'll read, he was able also to perform. God is able also to perform. What do you need God to do for you in 2021? Let me tell you, God is able also to perform. It is not just for Abraham. It is not just for Isaac. It's not just for Jacob and Daniel and Matthew and Mark and Paul and Peter. It's for you in 2021. God is able. You can be fully persuaded, fully convinced that he's able over and over and over. What do you think this book is for? This is a book of God's history, and he's proven faithful every step of the way. Hey, what do you think the last 20 years God has been for Anchor Baptist Church? I am fully persuaded that he is able to perform way more than we could ever ask. God has proven himself every step of the way. Fully persuaded. His faith was confident. The confidence of Abraham's. Think of this. This kind of faith sees the work of God done in the immediate. What was that? Isaac's birth. That was faith. I mean, how in the world did this happen? This is a miracle. This kind of faith sees the work of God done in the immediate, Isaac's birth. And this kind of faith sees the work of God done in the eternal. And what was that? What was that? That was that it was counted to him for righteousness. So there is the immediate faith, and that is Isaac was born of Abraham and Sarah. Then there is the eternal faith, which was counted to him for righteousness. Every day we live by faith. We live by faith as Christians. There is nothing, you've heard it said, there's no greater life than the faith life. you know what? I'm not living right now. I'm not living by faith only that I'm going to go to heaven someday. I'm living by faith that God is going to supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is something that is an everyday way of living. I have faith to believe that God is going to allow me to pay the rent in my home, to put clothes on my back, to put food in my stomach, to give me everything, all things richly to enjoy for God's glory and for his honor. And so there is the immediate need that we have, that God is going to give me the air to breathe, that God is going to give me everything that I need. It's all coming from God. But then there is the eternal blessing of being with him in heaven for all eternity. All of that comes by one word, faith. Everyday faith, eternal faith. And I want to have stronger faith. How about you? I want to have stronger faith. This confidence. How about this? Here's the question. How big is your God? How big is your God? Oh, God can do anything. God can do everything. And then we have something come into our life, and then it's, how big is your God? Hey, if God's big enough to give Abraham a son at 99 years old and Sarah 89 and up in age and beyond the time of birth, our God is able to do whatever you need God to do. We need the will of God to be done in our life. He had a confidence. He was fully convinced. He was fully persuaded. If you have been saved for any length of time, you, my friends, have every reason to be fully persuaded that God is able also to perform. I mean, all you need to do, get a journal, get something, get a notebook, and every time God answers a prayer, write it down, put it on a calendar, write it down. And because you know what? If you're like me, you forget things sometimes. You forget the prayer that God answered last month. You forget the prayer that God answered back in June. You forget the prayer that God answered back in the spring of last year. You forget the prayer that God answered in 1998. I don't even know what it was in 1998. I can't remember the prayer God answered either. I just grabbed that year. I'm just saying, God is so good. There has been so much God has done in your life. For you have every reason, and I have every reason to be fully convinced, to be able also to perform. It's not a confidence in me. It's not a confidence in you. You're not confident in the pastor. I'm not confident in you. We're confident. Our confidence is in him, and he's able to perform also. Here's the deal. Abraham obeyed what God told him to do and then waited for God to fulfill his word. Abraham, I want you to go this direction. I want you to go here. I want you to do this. He obeyed and then waited for God to fulfill his word because he was confident. 25 years later, wow. Number four, we have the prophet, not P-R-O-P-H-E-T, but P-R-O-F-I-T, the prophet of Abraham's faith. Look at verse 22, same one. Verse 22. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Abraham's faith was well-pleasing with the Lord because the Lord took the faith of this elderly man, Abraham, and credited his account in heaven, we talked about this, with righteousness. God saved Abraham's soul because Abraham took God at his word. Are you willing to take God at his word tonight, this afternoon? Dear friend, you're out there, you're watching right now, you're sitting, someone invited you to come to the service today. You're a first-time visitor. I'm so thankful Pastor Nathan mentioned that this morning. I had been forgetting to do that, so thank you for doing that. If you're a visitor right now, thank you so much for joining the live stream of Anchor Baptist Church here in Burnaby. We're glad to have you. Someone sent you the link, you clicked on it. Someone sent you their Facebook invite or watch party or whatever, and you're in church right now. I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much. And I want to tell you that today the Word of God is as powerful as it ever has been. And I want to tell you that the Word of God has a message of hope for you. The Word of God has a message of hope for the hopeless. The Word of God has a message of help for the helpless. The Word of God has everything that you need this afternoon. The greatest need you have, sir, the greatest need you have, ma'am, is to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified, buried, and risen again. The greatest need you have is to have righteousness imputed, which means added to, which means credited to your account. And the only way that can happen is through the gospel. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Abraham believed God's word, and all it took was that simple belief and that simple faith, and God said, okay, righteousness is now credited to your account. And it doesn't matter if you are 14 years old, 44 years old, or 84 years old. If you understand that you're a sinner and you understand that sin has a penalty on it, that penalty is death and hell. Yes, you deserve to go to hell. Yes, I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to burn forever in hell because I am a sinner. But because of the grace and the grace of Almighty God, He allowed Jesus Christ to come and live a sinless life in a sin-cursed world, to bleed and suffer and die and take all of that and then take all of the sin of the whole world on Him. God then turning His back on His Son, and Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. But he came back to life 3 days later, as we learned a few weeks ago. All of this, in a nutshell, has given you and me hope. We can have the same righteousness imputed to our account tonight, right now. Oh, if you're not saved, I would encourage you, even now, you don't have to keep listening. Even now, just go to your knees in your living room. Go to your knees in your kitchen. Go to your knees in your bedroom and call on the name of the Lord in faith, and you can be saved. Don't wait. If the Holy Spirit of God's convicting you, cry out to Him right now, humbly in faith, and He will not cast you out. He'll save you now. And boy, would we ever rejoice with you. You don't have to tell us if you do, though. Let us know if you can. We want to rejoice with you. We just want the message to continue to go forth, that as Abraham had this imputed to his account, there is a prophet that comes with faith. There's salvation, but then there's security. I am secure every day, not in me. I'm secure in the one who's able to perform it also. The prophet of faith comes every day with Jesus. It's sweeter than the day before. Take notice that this was not because of anything meritorious in Abraham, but merely because he believed. Did Abraham deserve it? No. Do you deserve it? No. Do I deserve it? No. There is no merit in me worthy. There's nothing good in me. The Bible says that the good in me, it's like a filthy rag. A filthy rag that was used to wipe the pus off of the sores of someone who had leprosy. That's my good deeds, let alone my bad ones. But remember, it's not about your merit. It's not about my merit. It's simply believe. My wife and I had the opportunity to get away for about 24 hours this last week for her to celebrate her birthday, and we went and we spent time in downtown just off the water there, about a block off of the water, and I was able to go out Tuesday morning, I think it was, and took a nice long walk. It wasn't raining, thankfully, and you know, all of that, and then of course we did some walking around on Tuesday afternoon. And but then when we left the city, the hotel that we were staying on was on Hastings, West Hastings. But as you know, if you're from Vancouver, you travel on Hastings heading east. You come to an area just before you come to Main Street. And we used to go down there all the time. We used to go down there and preach at the Gospel Mission. Clarify that, to preach at the Gospel Mission. And I don't need to describe it to you, but it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And, you know, a lot of times we'll look at someone that is there in that situation, and we look at them, and then we think about ourselves. And I'm not saying I did this. I don't believe I did. But we look at us, and then we look at them, and then we look at us. And we if we're not careful, we can begin to think that we're above them. Surely the same merit that is in me, that's not in me, is the same merit that is not in them. I do not deserve God's grace. I deserve God's grace no less or more than they do. And only by the grace of God, I could be there tonight. Only by the grace of God, you could be there tonight. And let me just say, we're really praying for this RU discipleship ministry to begin. And would you pray with me that on February 12th, we would be able to begin the very first official meeting of the RU ministry. And I'm not saying that we're going to be able to go downtown and just scoop up all of Maine and Hastings and bring it here. That's not necessarily our goal. Our goal is one man and one woman at a time recognizing that they have hope in Jesus Christ, that their filthy, dirty, sinful lifestyle, like my filthy, dirty, sinful lifestyle, can be made clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that same righteousness that was imputed to Abraham, that was imputed to me, can be imputed to them. There is great profit in faith. The blessings of God, and I'm not saying profit as in money, I'm saying there is nothing beyond in comparison to the peace of God on a man's life, and the joy that Jesus brings, and the fruit of the Holy Spirit that come, and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all the rest of them that come when we get saved. Oh, my friends, the prophet of Abraham's faith. You have the same prophet available to you today. Let me see one more. Number five, the pattern of Abraham's faith. Oh, I was thinking about these verses earlier, even this afternoon. Read them again. Look at verse 23. Now, it was not written. This should make you maybe have a little bit of a Bapticostal fit. Okay, here we go. It was not written for his sake alone. Mark that down. It was not written for Abraham only that it was imputed to him. 24. And I just love this. But, and I like these next three words, for us also. Who's writing Romans chapter 4? Well, it's Paul. He's the human penman under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Us is written to Roman Christians, which primarily would have been Gentile believers. Abraham is a Jew with God. Jew and Gentile are all one. But when I read this, this is the way God spoke to me, that the salvation that he's talking about and the imputation that he's talking about isn't just for the Jewish nation, although it is, but for us also, notice, to whom it shall be imputed, it can be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Amen. These things were not recorded as mere historical facts, but as illustrations for all of time of God's method of justification by faith. It hasn't changed. It never will change. You mix works in with it, you do not have the pure gospel. You have a false gospel. It was imputed to him in Genesis because he believed. And it's imputed in Burnaby in 2021 if you believe. Same thing needed to have the righteousness of God imputed to us. We are to follow, I am to follow Abraham's strong faith in example, his strong faith in example, his example of faith for all eternity. Go with me quickly in your Bible to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. I'm saying the pattern because it's the pattern that we are following tonight. Here we are, 2021, third day of the month, three days in only. And this is the pattern. Belief, salvation. Acts 16:31. Go ahead and turn to James 2. Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Abraham's belief led to his salvation. His faith led to his salvation. My faith leads to my salvation. This is the pattern. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God. Have you believed God? Have you believed God for your salvation? It's the only way you can be saved is to believe the Word of God. You cannot believe you cannot believe a denomination. You can't believe traditional teaching, some extra biblical teaching. But my great grandma told my grandma, who told my mom, who told me, hey, God bless all of the generations that are saved, and so forth and so on. But if it's not truth, I don't care if 10 great grandmas passed it all the way down. If it's error, we don't want anything to do with it, because it's only by faith, only by believing in the Word of God, can we have His righteousness. This is the pattern. It wasn't only for Abraham's benefit that God declared him righteous through faith. He is an example that I am invited to follow. As we go back to Romans 4, we can see even here the confidence of the Apostle Paul. He says here, it shall be imputed. Notice it there? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, right? Shall be saved. To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe. This wasn't just for Abraham or the people in the Old Testament. It's for you tonight. It's for me tonight. He looked ahead by faith and believed in God, who could make something out of nothing, remember? Who could raise the dead. Our faith is in the same God. As we look back in His Word, you cannot read this book and not see a powerful, miracle-working, loving, merciful, graceful God. You can't. Either you're reading it so fast and you're missing it, or you've never really read it. Because when you open this book, you open all that to God. You'll see all that. But not just that. I'm convinced, new and afresh, that we need to take inventory in our own personal lives and see just how much our God has already bestowed upon us. He has bestowed so much upon us. He has given us His mercy, His love, His grace. I'm not talking about in the Bible days. I'm talking about in your life, in my life. We have the same faith in the same God, yes, as we look back, but as we look around. Just take 2020 for example. You know, January rolls around, we go down to the Preacher's Delight, almost get snowed in down there, we get back. That first Wednesday night of January was snowed out. We didn't have a service. I think it was the first Wednesday night, maybe the second Wednesday night. Anyway, we didn't have church because it was just a blizzard hit. Remember, we were talking about that the other night. End of January, Brother Flanders came in. I mean, things were moving, and we had people baptized right away, and people were getting saved. And, I mean, there was a fervor, and February rolled in and all that brought. And then we started hearing a little bit about all this stuff that was going on over in different parts of the world. And, you know, we won't reminisce. I already did that once. But what I'm saying is, if you're not careful, you can look at 2020 with bitterness. You can look at it with, I can't think of even a word that I want to use right now. But don't do that. Look at 2020. Excuse me. I think I said 2020, you could look at it with bitterness. But look at 2020 and look at all that God did. Look at all that God performed. Look at how God opened the waters. Look at how God showed us 105,000 gospel tracts. Look at how God, right at the end of the year, says, hey, what about 7770? Have you ever thought about that? Right at the end. It's just in the right time. You see, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But I have to say this, to God's glory, I have seen God do some amazing things in my 47 years. I've not only read about it, can I say this? I've not only read about it, but I've tasted it. I've tasted the goodness of God. I've seen God heal people. I've seen God let people die and go to heaven. I've seen God take people. But all of it is faith. You can't just have faith in the God when your pocket is full and when my pocket is full. If my pocket is empty, I need to know that God is the sustainer and God is going to feed me with bread from heaven, and God's not going to let the righteous be forsaken nor his seed begging bread. I'm going to tell you tonight, church, to God's glory, I've tasted the goodness of God and I've tasted the blessings of God. And He has more for you and He has more for me. We need to have strong faith. God that could give a man a son at 99 is the same God that can do what you need done tonight. And it's not about doing it so we can have a trick. It's doing it so He can have the glory. All of it is for His glory. It is not for this kingdom. It is for the kingdom yet to come. I want to taste it again. How about you? I want to taste it some more. I'm talking about the goodness of God. I'm talking about the power of God. He looked ahead by faith. We look back. Promise boils down to one man, Jesus Christ, the central focus of every promise that has ever been given. He is the one through whom all the nations of the world are blessed. Lord Jesus Christ. As we move forward in 2021, let's move forward strong in faith, giving God all. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. We have a pattern to follow, church. It's not a perfect pattern. Abraham was not perfect. Abraham made many mistakes. And I have made many mistakes. You have made many mistakes. But we have the pattern that we have in Abraham was, God said it, that settled it. God said it, that settled it. Now, Abraham just so happened, the Bible says, he believed it. Which is a triple blessing. Remember, if God says something, it really doesn't matter if you believe it or I believe it. It's gonna happen. Let's get in on it. Let's get in on it. If God said it, let's believe it. Let's believe it. And let's believe it if it takes 25 years. Let's believe it. If it's the next generation that sees it, let's believe it. Let's believe it for our grandchildren. Let's believe it for our children. Let's believe it for the next generation to come.